What's good, everyone? My name is Jacob Moses, community builder at Strongtowns, and welcome to It's the Little Things, a Strongtowns podcast where in each episode, we focus on a different action that you, the concerned citizen, the elected official, the city planner, can take to make your town stronger. This episode's action? Investing in your neighborhood. As we observe investment in neighborhoods all across the country, we often see what we as Strongtowns call trickle or the fire hose, meaning a neighborhood has virtually no reinvestment or redevelopment, a trickle, or it undergoes a huge transformation over just a few years, the fire hose. The former, which can include the city not maintaining its public infrastructure, gives the neighborhood an air of decline. The latter, capitalizing on that decline, leaves the neighborhood unrecognizable and often doesn't benefit existing residents that weren't fortunate enough to own their homes. At Strongtowns, we believe there's another way. A way that builds community wealth while ensuring the investments benefit people already in the neighborhood. We call it the neighborhood's first approach, where we as neighbors observe where people struggle and take incremental steps to address those struggles. This approach doesn't need a special task force or a $1 million grant. Instead, all it needs is neighborhood advocates willing to observe their neighborhoods and pitch a vision of neighborhood-led investment. That's why in this episode, we have Rafa Wright on the podcast. Detroit native and community leader who's embraced this approach to create neighborhood-led investments in Detroit's historically underserved neighborhoods. In this episode, Rafa shares how you, no matter your background, can take a neighborhood's first approach to investing in your neighborhood, including how to observe where people struggle, how to find the right investments for your neighborhood, and how to get your neighbors involved in the process. And just a heads up, towards the end of the episode, you may hear Rafa's beautiful baby daughter giggling from the other room. It's not very distracting from Rafa's great message that he'll share with you today, and is a refreshing reminder that people in our neighborhoods, with their children and all, can lead neighborhood-led investment. I hope you all enjoy this episode with Rafa Wright. Rafa, what's going on, friend? How are you today?
I'm doing good. How about you, man?
I'm doing good.
Is it hot enough for you where you at?
Man, it's real hot here in Denton, man. We're already rocking high 90s. It's a mess. What about you? What's going down in Detroit?
Yeah, we got some 90-plus degrees today, man. It's been real disrespectful on the heat today.
Sure. I feel you. Well, Rafa, so excited to have you in the podcast today. We have a great action to cover together. And that is investing in your neighborhood. And Rafa, I know you're living this life and has been for a few years now. And I got to tell you, here at Strongtowns, we are huge fans of your approach to investing in your neighborhood. You know, you're starting on a neighborhood level, you're using existing assets in the community, you're finding opportunities for investment through collaboration. I mean, my friend, you are doing it right and in several different ways. You know, you got the grocery game going on. This weekend, as you and I were talking about the best time to record, you told me you just got back from a boot camp for teens. So you're investing in several different ways. To get started, I'd love to learn, Rafa, what inspired you to use your entrepreneurial skills and this community-focused mindset in these neighborhoods in Detroit?
Well, I grew up in a real close-knit area, not a real close family, but my neighborhood itself, we all treated each other like family. So I've always had a family philosophy, and, you know, I know we've all tried to do things by ourselves, right? And, you know, you try to start a project alone, you try to do stuff by yourself. It is so hard. And all you need is just one more person involved, and then it becomes so much easier. So my whole philosophy with neighborhood investment is just inclusiveness. You know, one, we have to work together. You know, one person can't say, you know, my mission is making the hood great again, as you know, but one person can't do that. So I want to be involved with as many projects that is, you know, inclusive as possible. I want to work with everybody because we all have to live in the same area. We all have to be striving to be happy. And we can't do that if, you know, I'm doing something, you're doing something else, they're doing something else over there. We have to have some type of synergy and some cohesiveness if we're going to really make things great.
Yeah, Raf, and you make a great point about finding allies around the process. And it's admittedly a place where I struggle. You know, I'll go out in my neighborhood, I'll observe ways that I hope to make some investments in the neighborhood. I end up opening up a corner store by myself and it closes in 14 months because I didn't try to get my friends involved in the process. How has that process been for you? How do you get peers involved?
I'm going to cut into what you just said. Like, it is not easy. That's probably the most difficult process is getting everybody that you know, that you love, that you have a connection with on that same page. It can be a headache. It can be a headache to get, you know, the people that you hang with every day, that you party with, and that you have fun with to say, why don't we make this investment? You know, once you do that, then you're speaking, you know, a different language. You know, you're not speaking.
That's right.
Anymore. You're speaking French. You know, the moment risk is involved and, you know, some real hard work, blood, sweat, and toil, tears is required. You know, people start to scatter. What I've been doing is just really leading by example. I gotta admit, I've been lucky. You know, as I've been changing, a lot of people around me have changed as well. So I haven't been really left alone. You know, I've been really surrounded by some real great people. You know, I've always been around great energy and great minded people already. But once I started shifts towards, you know, social enterprise and, you know, community development, I just got lucky. And everybody that I know, love, and been around my entire life have been making that transition with me. So I got lucky, but I know that it is very, very hard, especially, you know, you have a lot of alpha males or a lot of alpha females. You have a lot of people that are just strong leaders.
Sure.
Everybody on one page, it is a headache at times. But, we have one common goal in mind. That's community development, improvement. And, you know, we just try to figure it out from there.
I love it, Rafa. I want to talk more about how your philosophy kind of shapes what you do in your neighborhood. I know you have your hands in a lot of different things. You got the grocery game going on. You're messing with some auto services. You've been doing some mentorship. How does your philosophy and like your mission for the neighborhood shape and help you decide what investments you want to make?
You know, when I was growing up, when I got into entrepreneurship, it was always about money. You know, that's what we're groomed as, you know, people from the inner city, we're groomed to chase the dollar, you know, hustle for money, get money, really chase profit. As I started to change and transition into the mindset that I have now, I started really thinking about people, really trying to create change, bringing things to people or areas that haven't been introduced before, being innovative and really just being a game changer. And that philosophy has really drove me into places that many people won't even go into. You know, my auto shop is in an area that is not depleted, not desolate, but pretty close. Nobody would think about going over there, but we're you know, surviving so far. Why? Because we're thinking not just profit, but we're thinking about in education, improving the quality of life of the people around us, really making an investment in the people, hiring locally, training locally, creating a pathway for job opportunities, not just with my business, but other businesses and partnerships with other businesses and organizations, things like that. Like, we're not just thinking about money. Of course, we need money to survive, but we're really thinking about social impact, really having some type of lasting positive effect on people's lives, even if it's just working on their car with that particular
thing.
It's all about vertical integration. We can bring them to, you know, to the grocery game, to the media game, to personal finance, to all the things that my group has been involved in. It's just about, you know, making people happy and just, you know, giving people a standard to follow and look up to in an area that really hasn't had a standard for a long time.
You're building human capital, Rafa, which I think is what I find most compelling from your ventures. You know, you said, of course, we want to try to get that money. However, you're looking out for the neighborhood as well. Whenever we need to, you know, maybe get someone to help build a new development, you're probably looking in the neighborhood to find contractors in the neighborhood. You're building community wealth, which is, I think, essential to, you know, successfully investing in your neighborhood.
Yeah, that's how long-term wealth is built and long-term success is sustained, is, you know, that local money multiplier, keeping it local. keeping it within a certain area, trapping it there, and just letting it circulate and build and grow and just suffocate an area, so much good can happen. When that money is leaking out, when that human capital is leaking out, going to other areas and working with other groups of people and not with the people that they grew up around or are around every day on a daily basis, then you
have problems.
So keeping that here and just, you know, just really just condensing it as much as possible in one area, focusing in that one area, you really have some good benefits. The dividends would be massive.
And Rafa, I imagine as you start making these investments in the neighborhood, I imagine you're seeing a sense of pride rise up in these neighborhoods as well. Has that been your experience where, you know, you said before you're trying to mess with the auto services game, it was in a more distressed, disinvested neighborhood, showing love to them, starting this auto service business. Did you see that sense of pride rise up as well?
Absolutely, man. When people see the hometown hero really putting on, you know, we call it really, we in Detroit, we say getting off, like that boy getting off.
Yeah.
See a hometown hero getting off. It makes you want to, you know, match that. You know what I'm saying? That's the energy that you really want to match. Nobody wants to suppress that in the neighborhood. You know, you see the hometown hero getting off. You know, everybody, they get behind it. They rally behind it. And again, that's a standard that's set. So, oh, he doing that? I want to do that plus more. So now you talk about competition. That's a hell of a competition right there. Who's going to do better than the next person? Not who's going to make more money. Who's going to have a better impact in the neighborhood? Oh, he did that.
Yep.
Got to come do this. You know, that's really what I'm really, that's the standard that I'm trying to set. And that's the example that I want other people to lead by. How can we really improve our communities? Of course, we're going to make money. You know, that's just a given. Eventually, that money's going to come back. But how are you really reinvesting it? How are you investing it to start with? What's your philosophy going into making that money? So that's really... really what we've been leading with, and like I said, the rallying behind in these areas has been massive. Like, the love's been real.
Raf, I want to talk about your latest investment. I know it's one's been going on for a bit, doing a lot of great work, and that's with the grocery. You know, we talk a lot about strong towns, kind of what's the philosophy of neighborhood investment. We say, you know, first just humbly go out in your neighborhood and observe where people struggle. Say to yourself, okay, what's the next thing I can do to address that struggle? Immediately do that thing and then repeat. What were you observing in the neighborhoods of Detroit where you felt compelled to invest in opening up a grocery?
We have some very high some diabetes, obesity, high blood pressure, etc. And it all is food related. And then, you know, in a bigger picture, I looked at community building. You cannot build a community if you don't control the food that's in the community. And when you look in Detroit and look at the neighborhoods of Detroit, there's so much, I want to say, non-representing food sources in the community. So our grocery stores aren't owned and controlled and ran by people from the community. That has a lasting negative effect on how communities are developed. You know, outsiders feeding you. You know, you can't lead your community until you feed your community. So that's where I wanted to start with grocery. But again, we'll get into other businesses later. But community development starts with food, simple as that.
And I imagine this grocery store will be far more than just a place to get food. I imagine as even, you know, a social hub and a community gathering space as well.
The model that we've been leading and the store that we have begin built now is a bit small. So most of those elements are going to be applicable there. But in our second location, I guess, technically, we have all of that outfitted out in the plants. It's supposed to be a ground up build, but it is going to be enough room to have a social space. It's going to be tech driven, you know, regardless of the size. We're going to have tech driving these stores so that we can connect even outside of that location. We can connect with people right where they are at home or at work or at school. Content, give them information on nutrition, but just the community itself, you know, find a way to be like a, I don't want to say a Facebook, but close to it. It's a real life connection network for communities. And that's what Neighborhood Grocery is going to stand as. Not just a grocery store, but a grocery store plus a community connection. So you can come and have fun. You can come and listen to some music. You can come look at art. You can also come and get some political information.
Sure.
We can really tap into what our community needs as far as businesses, other resources. The community can speak to the politicians and city leaders through a neighborhood grocery, because we'll be able to have real life shelf level data on the, you know, one end of the stick, but on the other end, real life community data. We'll be able to go to the city council and the mayor and the governor and say, this neighborhood wants this and we really need this, and how can we help bring it about?
Rafa, how's this process worked working with the local governments? You know, maybe local governments used to, you know, they want a grocery store in town, they're going to give a big subsidy to Target or Kroger or Trader Joe's, whatever. What has it been like pitching this grassroots bottom-up approach?
It has not been easy. It has not been one of those easy situations, because I don't think anybody understands grocery. I barely understand grocery once I started this process. So, people just on the outside looking in tip just believe, hey, buy a building, put some food in it, there you go, that's a grocery store. But there's so much more into it when it comes to zoning, certain city requirements, certain laws and things for storage and how to transport. There's so many things that make this type of a project difficult to launch and even more difficult to maintain and run. So that process has been a bit difficult. But me bringing awareness to those type of issues, there's plenty of people on the city side that are, you know, working to say, hey, let's try to make these changes so that it's not difficult for the future. Because we know how much of a requirement and need this is in every neighborhood in Detroit.
So I want to talk about, you know, you said earlier, you know, Rafa, you're going off, you know, you're making things happen, investing in the neighborhood. Naturally, you're going to become a leader. People are going to look to you as someone who, you know, can help lead this neighborhood, bring more investment to it. How can people who want to invest in their neighborhood eventually take that leadership role, become a mentor, and help inspire other folk?
I got lucky in that regard. You have social media, have the internet, you have ways where you can reach people at a much faster and closer pace. I would always recommend going there first, especially for introverts like myself who, I admit, I still got some stage fright. You know, so getting in front of crowds and, you know, going to physical locations and saying, hey, I got this idea, it's always a bit offsetting for me. So the internet has always been my safe haven. So just put it out there, you know, that this is a philosophy that we need to adopt. So once people start thinking about it, you know, then you start taking it to church, I call, you know, start going into the community. And you know, what I've been doing is just really just going to any and every neighborhood association meeting, business association meeting, and saying, hey, I got this idea. I think that your neighborhood would be perfect for it, and just see what people feel. And eventually people start to really respect you as a leader and say, hey, he's really trying. I want to get behind that. I want to help in some way, shape, or form. And then as that grow, that momentum grows and builds, you know, you start knocking on doors that you may have been able to before, and people start knocking on your door that you didn't think would. So just really getting in the streets, man. I think that using that digital advantage, getting in the street first is a big help. And then, you know, physically getting in front of people and really showing them what you have. And people get to see your heart when they can look you in the eyes too. So, and then I've been in the city's eyes and people look at me and say, hey, he really wants this. He really is trying. All the other stuff that I'm doing is, you know, confirmation of that too. You know, and then, you know, I'm a hometown guy. So, you know, the city isn't that big. It's a big city, but, you know, everybody knows somebody that knows somebody. So, you know, people have came across me through other people and they know that this is real over here. So, you know, you just got to really tap into your human network, and then use social media and the internet and other means digitally to really connect with people outside of that. But it's a requirement. You know what I'm saying? If you really want to show that you are a leader and you want people to perceive you as that and see you as that, you got to put in that work. You have to put in that work.
And Rafa, I love the approach to which you're advocating for this neighborhood grocery store. You know, you're not just coming in and just harping on grocery, local food. You know, you have a vision and a philosophy behind it. It's not just being able to access healthy food in the neighborhood. It's building stronger neighbors in the process. Have you found that framing your vision around some kind of mission or shared philosophy helps get people to get behind this coalition?
Absolutely, because, you know, everything that we're doing, everything that we should be striving for as humans should be bigger than that particular mission. You know, like
Yeah.
An artist, a rapper, or a singer, or some the music that a person makes should be bigger than just that song. You know, if I'm an athlete, I should be striving to motivate outside of just winning something for my home team. I want to motivate the children to be great in some way, shape, or form, bigger than that. You know, so this has always been bigger than food. It's really been about making the hood great again. So having that as the number one play setter, it makes it all easier when it comes to, you know, leadership assembly, when it comes to assembling the troops to make things happen. This is bigger than just food. You know, this is really a matter of life and death of a community.
Well, Rafa, you shared some great insights, some great stories that I'm sure listeners are inspired by, hopefully picturing ways that they can invest in their own neighborhoods. I want to flash forward maybe 5, 10 years. Rafa, with this bottom-up approach that you're taking to investing in your neighborhood, what do you envision for these places 5, 10 years from now?
Cohesive communities working together, prosperous and self-sustaining. You know, we look at the African-American community particularly. We really talk about having our own, but then on the other hand, we talk about, you know, reparations and needing help from other people. I want to, at the minimum, have our own first, and then stuff that are entitled to us, we can get it later. But right now, it's about having our own. It's about really creating our own way, having our own pathways to success, having our own outlets and resources that we can utilize and that, you know, we can be proud of that because we did it on our own.
That's right. And you're starting in your neighborhood. The assets in the neighborhood, getting those shared insights, seeing what skills already exist in the neighborhood that we can help bring together to bring this project to fruition. I love it, Rafa. We're proud of you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
So, Rafa, people got a good idea of what you got going down in Detroit. Where can people connect with you online and learn more about what's going down?
I'm on social media on most outlets. I'm on Twitter at @Pharaoh_Rafa. That's @Pharaoh_Rafa. The same as on Instagram, @Pharaoh_Rafa. That's @Pharaoh_Rafa. Some of my company names have pages and profiles as well. Neighborhood Groceries on Instagram and Twitter. 3K Auto Services is on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. I'm just thinking about all the other stuff. I got some books out here in these streets that people can tap in via Amazon.
Very good. And listeners will make sure to have links to all the social media accounts and books in the show notes. Rafa, thank you. This has been a joy. We'll chat very soon.
Absolutely, bro. Thank you so much for the platform. I really appreciate people like yourself who recognize projects like this, but also doing things as well. I want to commend you for everything that you've been doing as well. We need all that love and help and support, and I'm here for you too, bro.
Thank you, Rafa. I appreciate that. We'll chat soon.
Absolutely. Peace.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone. If you're enjoying the content, please subscribe to It's the Little Things on iTunes, and we will chat next week. See ya.